If you have a Bible, please turn to Romans chapter 10. We have been walking through a series of studies that I've called Hello, My Name Is. And basically what we're trying to do is to learn some practical tools and how we can share our faith with the people around us. Today we're going to talk about planting. This is the middle concept. We talked about spiritual CPR several weeks ago, and we talked about what that meant, that CPR stands for cultivating, planting, and reaping, and that as we cultivate, we are developing relationships with people. Right? We're developing those relationships with people who need to know Jesus, and we are looking forward to seeing how God is going to do that in our lives. And then we are in that middle P of CPR, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, and it's the idea of planting. What does it mean to plant? Well, whether you're a professional farmer, an amateur gardener, or have the knack of killing plants like I do, we all know that seeds that go unplanted will never ever grow, right? If we leave a seed just sitting there, nothing's going to happen to it. There are certain things that seeds need in order to grow. I remember one day as we were getting ready to move from Michigan to here, we were going through an old junk drawer, and way in the back of the junk drawer was this packet of seeds that had been stuck in there. And when we looked at the date, it was 2015. And as we looked at the date said 2003. And I was like, these seeds are never going to grow because it's been too long. They're too old. The same is true with the fertile ground of relationships. We have to plant the seeds when the doors of opportunity open. God's plan for us as followers of Christ is that as we cultivate, we will be able to plant seeds of our relationship with Jesus into our relationships with what I call pre-Christians. I know it's kind of corny, but it's how I view people who don't know Jesus. They're Christians waiting to happen. This morning, my hope is that we can discuss how this happens and give you some practical tools to use to see this continue throughout your entire lifetime. Our theme passage has been Romans 10, 13 to 15. So we're going to read that together. So I'm going to ask you to just stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we read this together. The words are on the screen, and you can read along or you can just listen. That's fine as well. Here we go. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this opportunity that we have together to listen to your spirit speak. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own. I pray that you would use them, that they would be your words, and that you would use them in the power of that same Holy Spirit to accomplish what needs to happen in the hearts and minds of everyone who is here this morning, everyone who is listening online, Lord, that you would get the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A farmer went out one day to sow a seed. Some of the seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate up the seeds. Some fell among rocks and sprang up quickly. But because they had no depth of soil, they withered and died because of the heat of the sun. Others fell among weeds, and as they grew, the weeds also grew and choked out the plants, and they too died. But some fell among fertile soil and produced a crop of 10 to 50 times what was sown. Now, most of us, if we've been in church long enough, we've heard that story told by someone far greater than myself. It's a parable that Jesus told to the people of his day about the Word of God. This story I believe is very true when it comes to where we are today in talking about what it means to plant seeds of Jesus into our relationships with other people. And let me back up just a minute, because I think a lot of times we think of this spiritual CPR and we think of, well, we're looking to share the gospel and to help people come to know Jesus Christ. And that's absolutely true. And that's very important. But I think, and as we go along here, we're going to see that I think God wants us to also do some of this planting among other brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that's how we grow. That's how we begin to, and that's really what Jesus is talking about as well. And so let's begin by talking about the what, why, and how of planting. What does it mean? When we look at our scripture reading this morning, talked about us being sent and being preachers and being people who share the good news of people with other people. So first of all, what is planting? Okay? Well, planting is sharing God's truth with a pre-Christian friend. The truth that we share doesn't have to be polished. It doesn't have to be for 3 points in a poem. You're not preaching necessarily a sermon. It just simply has to be the truth. It simply needs to be God's word from your heart to someone else's heart. And God will do amazing things when we choose to do this. Why do we plant? We plant in order to deepen the relationships, to deepen our friendships. So it's like this. Think this through with me for a minute. When you first met your spouse, there wasn't an immediate connection where everything was perfect and everything was great. And I would venture to guess that any of us who have been married for any length of time probably would still say that there are still areas in our relationship that need honing, tweaking. Okay, let's just say it. They need work, right? But as we begin to offer the truth of who we really are with each other, our relationship begins to deepen. Our relationship begins to form. A deeper relationship begins to form. And so what we are calling you to do, and the reason we want to plant seeds of God's truth into our friendships, is because it will begin to help us to see other people for how God sees them. It will help them to see us as people who are not just out to put another notch on our Bible, but that we are actually concerned and care about the people with whom we're building these friendships. Part of our life as we live as followers of Jesus is the fact that God works in us. Like as we read the scriptures, as we study the scriptures, God reveals things to us and it changes who we are and changes how we live. And so these things that God is putting in us need to actually naturally flow out of our lives into the other relationships that we have, whether they're Christians or pre-Christians. Matthew 28:20 says what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the Great Commission, right? That's one of the foundations of the church. And what happens is that word baptize is the word baptizo, which actually literally means to immerse. Now, is Jesus saying that we need to go and start dunking people in water? Is that what he's talking about? No, I don't believe that's what he's talking about. I believe the idea is immersion, right? That we begin to immerse our friendships. We begin to immerse the people around us into what I like to call the culture of Jesus. What we begin to talk, like we talk about Jesus like he's our best friend. Well, there's a concept. But my dad used to do this when he was a teacher. He was a public school math teacher, and he used to talk to his students a lot of times that the conversation would turn to something spiritual. And when he began to quote scripture to them, he would say this: Well, my father says this. And my father says that. And all of the Christian kids in his class knew what was going on and knew what he was doing. The pre-Christian kids in his class were just thought he was hung up on his dad, which he was. But here's what happens. As we baptize or immerse our relationships into Jesus, the closer, as we grow closer to Jesus, Jesus begins to come out more. And I want to challenge you to not be afraid to share the things that God is teaching you, even with those people in your life who don't know Jesus yet. Because as you share those things, God is going to reveal to them more of who God is and what He is all about. So that's why we plant. How do we plant? We plant by balancing truth and love. Okay? We talked about cultivating last time we were together. This was 3 weeks ago. We talked about cultivating relationships. That's the love part. Right? That's where we begin to love people as God loves people, and we begin to see people for more than just human beings, but that they're a soul that's going to spend eternity in one of two places. And that's the love part. The planting part, that's truth. That's the truth of God's word that we're seeking to plant into people. And this balancing act, the cultivating and the planting, have to go hand in hand. Because what happens if we overemphasize the love portion and don't emphasize the truth portion? Well, we become what's called chameleon Christians. People know we care about them, but they don't know why. If we emphasize the truth part over the love part, if we don't love them enough and all we're doing is hammering them with truth, we become cactus Christians. And we repel people from God because there's no love. But when we become people who love people and balance the truth of God's word into those relationships, we become contagious Christians. And that's what we want to be. We want our love for Jesus to be contagious to the people around us so that they can't help but see God or see Christ in us. So how do we do it? Here are 5 ways to help you plant truth, okay? Here's the first thing. Share truth with Christian friends first. So here's what I'm challenging you to do here in this step is maybe with your spouse, maybe with another Christian friend, as God shares something or reveals something to you, go to them first and share it and say, hey, you know what? God, this is something that God showed me in my devotions this week. And as I was spending time reading the Bible, this just came out and I thought this was amazing. What do you think? Share what God is teaching you. This is a way to practice planting. This is a way to practice planting. It's also a way to keep yourself and other believers baptized into that Jesus culture that we were talking about, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with talking about how the Pirates beat the Cardinals twice already this weekend. Sorry, John. Yeah. And that's great to talk about. It's fun to talk about. But when we begin to talk more about Jesus than we talk about other things, then God is really beginning to move in us, and that becomes a part of who we are. A second thing that you can do is invite pre-Christian friends to events that are designed for planting. What's an event that's designed for planting? It's an event that where both pre-Christians and Christians will gather, and this can be a church service. It can be a picnic at someone's home on Labor Day. It can be a 4th of July get together. It can be a worship night. But it doesn't matter what it is, but it's an opportunity for people to see other Christian, for pre-Christian people to see Christian people and be emphasized for what it is. That it's an opportunity to hear about who Jesus is and to share Jesus with the people who are there. You don't even need to take one of these events that I mentioned. You can come up with your own. It could be a dinner party. It could be any number of things. A work project. Something like that. But whatever it is, it helps your pre-Christian friends to see more people who love Jesus too. So share the truth with Christian friends, invite pre-Christians to an event designed for planting, model authentic Christianity with pre-Christians. Now listen, this is where it gets interesting. We need to live the life of Christ in front of people. If you have your Bible open still, turn over a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at what Paul says here. He says something very interesting. Look at what he says. He says in the first verse of chapter 6, it says, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation." Now look what he says here next. He says, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way." Look at this list. "In great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, in sleepless nights, in hunger." Anybody want to sign up for that? Right? Those are hard things. Those are difficult things that we face in life. And so as we look at this list, at least the first part of this list, we think, "Paul, what in the world are you talking about?" This is the kind of thing that as we walk with Christ through these things, that people will see who Jesus really is. He goes on, verse 6, "In purity, in understanding, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere kindness, or in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left." So, in our character, we live out the character of Christ, the character of God before people, and they can see that. He goes on. He says, "Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything." Friends, this is the paradox of the Christian life that Paul's talking about. This is what it looks like our life is like we should be sorrowful, like we should be hungry, like we should have nothing. But really what we are is rejoicing, and we're full, and we have everything that God wants us to have. See, this is, all of these things that we're talking, that Paul's talking about here in 2 Corinthians 6, these can be best seen in a relationship. The people that you know the best are the people who you're going to see. Do they have the character of God? How do they respond in beatings and imprisonments and riots and hard work and sleepless nights? How do they respond when they're in sorrow yet rejoicing? Is that true of them? Well, that can be seen when there is a relationship. That love cultivated in relationship and then living out our faith in the midst of that relationship is planting the seeds of truth into the life of that person. I would venture to guess that there isn't one of us who, when we think back on our Christian life, that there wasn't someone in our life that modeled Jesus to us and showed us who Jesus really was. Look, sometimes we mess up. I'm looking out on this crowd and I'm venturing to guess that there's not a single perfect person in this entire room. And sometimes we will mess up, and even sometimes we might even mess up in front of our pre-Christian friends. But when we do, we seek forgiveness. We ask them to personally forgive us if they saw us mess up, and we always live the way God wants us to. And we always go back to Jesus. We always give Him glory. We always reflect His glory. We always bring it around to Jesus. Fourth way to plant the truth is to ask spiritually focused questions. These are questions that will draw the conversations around spiritual matters. Think about these questions and make a list. Memorize the list. Pull them out when it's appropriate. These are ways that we can share and plant truth with people. The fifth way is share your own faith story with pre-Christian people. Why? Our own faith story, why, how we came to know Jesus as our Savior. Three reasons. Because it's powerful, Your story is the most powerful tool that you have in sharing Jesus. It's also personal because it's your story. It's been said that no one can argue your experience because it happened to you. And the third thing about it is that it's portable. You can take your story wherever you go. So to close this morning, I want to just share with you how you can share your story. All right? Here is what your testimony, and we call this a testimony, our faith story. Here's what it should include. It should include your life before Christ. Who I was before I became a Christian. This is the life I was living. This is who I was before I became a Christian. Now you see, I have a slash my childhood years here. There are some who came to know Jesus at a very early age. That's great. That's wonderful. A lot of times people who come to Christ at an early age, they think, well, I really don't have that strong a testimony. That's baloney. Because what God has done for you is absolutely amazing, is that He has saved you from going down those paths that others have gone down and wish they hadn't. And so here's what you do. In your life before Christ, if you came to Christ later in life, tell about your life before Christ. But if you were saved at a young age, talk about your childhood. How did God provide for you? How did God meet your needs? Through a loving mother or father, through siblings who cared about you, through a church that rose up and met your needs. Whatever it is, that is how you begin the story. Then talk about how you met Christ. What were the circumstances? What caused you to feel the need that you needed to have Jesus, a relationship with Jesus Christ? It might have been a person. It might have been an event. It might have been a combination of the two. How were you challenged to respond? And how did you respond? Did you respond with crying? Did you respond with jumping up and down? Did you respond by hugging the person who was telling you about Jesus? How did you respond to that? And then talk about how you met Christ. The third part of your story is my life since I trusted Christ. What's Jesus doing in your life now? What changes have you seen in your life since the moment you came to know Jesus? What challenges have you faced since following Jesus? Because let's face it, even though there are many out there who tell you that if you follow Jesus, your life will be perfect, your life isn't perfect. And if your life is perfect because you're following Jesus, please come talk to me because I want to know the secret. Because my life isn't. So here's what I want to challenge you to do this morning. Three things I want to challenge you to do. Number one, I want you to write out that list of spiritually focused questions. I know we kind of already challenged you to do this, but the point remains. We need to be ready to pull out the arrows that God gives us to fire. So I want you this week, sometime this week, to write out a list of at least 5 questions that you can use with someone who is not yet a Christian, who you're building that friendship with, to help them see the value of thinking about spiritual matters. I'll give you a couple of examples. You can steal one of these 3. I want you to get 4 of your own. Here are 3 examples. 1, what do you think happens to a person after they die? That's a great spiritual question. And the beauty of it is that you're asking them their opinion. And after they give you their opinion, guess who gets to share theirs? Yay! See, spiritually focused questions. Number 2, you could say something like, what comes to your mind when you think about God? Do you think about someone who loves and cares, or do you think about someone who's ready to smack you around when you mess up? A third question might be, what are some things you would change about this world if you could? That is a great question. You probably get a nice long response after that. And then, after you get your list of 5, and remember you can only use one of those 3, but after you get your 5 questions, memorize them. Have them ready to pull out when the time is appropriate. And again, remember, use a question that is appropriate, right? And again, remember, in Mark chapter 13, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, when you are brought before kings and magistrates and you're arrested and you're brought before them, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Right? Sometimes you ask these questions, the response might be something you totally were unexpecting. But remember, God will give you what He will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you know what to say. God will give you the words to say when you need them. And as my daughter likes to say, it's pretty cool that way. Second challenge, be authentic with those you're cultivating relationships with. When you mess up, and you will mess up, be open and honest. The more open you are with people, the more Jesus will shine through. I think we have in America this wrong way of thinking that we have to show people that we've got it all together. And there's something wonderful about being with people who don't. Because when you're with people who don't have it all together, you realize, I'm in good company. Because I don't have it all together either. This is also important as we deal with Christian friends. As I said, far too often we try to cover up all our warts and faults and scars, thinking the people will think less of us if we do. But God's promise for the church is that we learn, or His purpose for the church is that we learn from one another, that we bear each other's burdens, that we focus outward, not inward. So get into relationships with brothers and sisters and see how God is going to help you practice for your relationships with people who are not yet within the family of God. And third, certainly not least, practice your faith story. Write it out, work it out, share it with people you know and trust. Hone it, know it, share it. Your personal faith story, as I said earlier, is something that no one can argue with. No one can tell you it isn't true because it happened to you. So share it. Share it often. And you'll see the difference in how people respond to it as you share it. I was challenged when I began to write out my faith story. I was challenged that you need to be able to tell your faith story in under 2 minutes. For some of you, that's going to be really hard, like me, because I'm a talker. At Michael's funeral, one of his brothers is a lawyer, and he says, I get paid by the word. And I said, man, I wish I got paid by the word. I'd be a millionaire. Anyway, but try your best to share your faith story in under 2 minutes. It is possible. And as you sow these seeds, as you plant these seeds of Jesus into the relationships that you have with unsaved people, God will open doors to help you see opportunities to see them get it and come to an understanding of who Jesus is. Next week, we're going to talk about reaping. We're going to talk about how to challenge people to respond to the gospel. And so I hope you come back. I hope you come back and hear that. We're also going to talk about how we can take this spiritual CPR and use it. Like as we go along in this study, we're going to talk about how to use it in the everyday stuff of life. We're going to talk about what it means to do this together in one another fellowship. And I hope that you'll stick with us. I hope you'll come back. I hope you'll be a part of this because God has something amazing in store, not just for you as a person, but I believe for this church. And I believe that God is going to do something amazing in the coming days because God, that's who God is. Jesus said, my Father is always at work and I am doing the work that He is calling me to do. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, God is still at work. And I believe that God is still at work. And that if we submit to Him, if we submit to His plan for our life, if we submit to what He wants to do in us and through us, that amazing things are going to happen. We're going to see people come to Christ. We're going to see people saved from addiction. We're going to see people healed. We're going to see people, just amazing miracles happen. Not because we're great people, not because we're awesome people, but because God is an awesome God. Because He's the one who's going to do it. All He needs from us is for us to be willing to do whatever He's calling us to do. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for who You are and for what You've done. Thank You for Jesus and for His death on the cross, for His willingness to go there for us so that we might have eternal life. Pray, Lord, that as we seek to find ways to share the good news of Jesus with those around us, that we would learn how to ask the right question, learn how to share our own faith story, to learn how to be authentic with those around us, Lord, not try to cover up who we really are, but to open up and let people see what You have done in us. We love You, God, and we know that one day we will be with You forever, and we look forward to that day. as we worship you forever and a day.